Wisdom found in children, even when we're not looking. Little child in the art class, the teacher walks up to him and says, "What are you drawing?" And little girl looks at the teacher and she says, "I'm drawing a picture of God and what He looks like." And the teacher says, "No one knows what God looks like." And the little girl looks at her and says, "In a minute they will." I thought that was perfect. We give ourselves freely and openly as innocent children. Let us think about that and meditate as the ushers come forward. Okay. Others this morning. If there are none, let us join our hearts together. Let me check the corner. If there are none, let us join our hearts together. And if you have that unspoken request, just hand up and down. Thank you. Let's join our hearts together and seek Him here in our midst. It was in a humble servant that you sent your Son, Father, that Jesus would come down and walk amongst us, that you sent Him here yourself through your Son. And so we pray at this time, Father, that Spirit walks among us at this moment, searching our hearts, knowing our thoughts before we even think them. At the very first, let us just say, we're sorry. At some point this past week, we failed somewhere. Cleanse us, Father. We don't come preaching and saying, "I'm sorry," lightly. We come with a heart full of repentance for the sin thus committed. We lay that at your feet, begging your mercy and guidance. Surround us with your love at this time, and we are humbled to know that you love us. We ask that you be with those that are in sickness, those that are unable to be here today for different reasons. But if we can, at this moment, let us all join our hearts to become intimate and personal for our brother Bob. And pray your will be done. We know him, and we know his love for you and his desire to be in your presence. There's been a lot of questions as to why hanging on, why. The answer is simple, that you would draw us closer to yourself through your servant Bob, that you would experience our unified prayers, hearts and minds calling to you, continuing to focus on you, that we should not lose it during this leg of the journey. But let us pray for him now. And there are so many. Let us remember ourselves as your children. And be that example, wherever, however, whatever. Search our hearts, Father. Know us as we truly are. Shake us out, clean us up, dust us off, and set our feet back to walking in your direction again. That's the prayer for this country. That's the prayer for leadership. That's the prayer for those who have looked upon the Bible and looked upon the words "one nation under God" and said, "Not anymore." Let us pray that that is no longer the case, that it is you we earnestly seek. Tired of hearing it. We're here because you've given this to us. Let us not forget that. Remember us as we pray, Father. Remember those we ask blessings for, which is everyone. In whatever capacity, whatever job they do to support their livelihood, whether it is a direct or an indirect cause to our creature comforts, Father, let us be mindful of blessing those. Let us join our hearts together in seeking their comfort, which would be for each and every one. And find ourselves simply remembering under God. Hear us as we pray, Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You might take notice in your bulletin today, I have the scripture in there. Psalm chapter 27. Open your Bibles and leave them open. David writing how God offers help for today, for this minute, for this moment, and yet on into the future. Unwavering confidence in God, I can't go any further, is the antidote for what we've got going on. Sorry. Cook up here. Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 through 9. Stand with me if you can to hear the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 through 9. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle. He will set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, O, when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger, as you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless upon us the reading of your word, the strengthening of the commitment, the deeper understanding. Grant that we will walk away from here debating, discussing, leaving here with your word printed upon our heart, that we may come to know you better and seek you where others have sought. Let us be those leaders, Father. Let us be those examples. Let us be those witnesses. Let these words come from you through me and be heard wholly and divinely. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. So let me set the scene for you. See if you can follow along with my sense of humor and my line of thinking. There I sat with an ice pack on the side of my head. Eyes were a little bit sore. Head was spinning. Leg hurt. I sat there with an ice pack on my head, and where I had been crying, I began to laugh. I got an ice pack on my head. You see, I'm sitting in a truck with an ice pack on my head, laughing because I had just fell for about the 30th time in the past 2 weeks in the ice, in Canada, in January in 1998. When I fell down this time, I hit my head on the side of the truck, and they give me an ice pack to hold the swelling down as I sat there in what they called the perfect ice storm. And I started laughing. Not too many people wondered what was wrong with me because I just hit my head. Again. Not too many people know about this. I've shared it once or twice. In 1998, what they called the perfect ice storm hit Canada. Chiefly Quebec, Montreal, a little further north, down into New Brunswick, parts of Ontario, Maine, and upstate New York. At that time, I was working for a company that went out and trimmed trees, but I was working in a construction division. See, this perfect ice storm was such that, and I'm just going to step all over Greg's territory, but he'll help me. As you see how ice happens is, it starts snowing. But the snow falls into a layer of warm air, melts into rain, then the rain falls into cool air and turns into ice. All right, I'm getting a thumbs up. I did my research, Greggy. And we get an ice storm. Now, typically, an ice storm lasts about 3.5 hours, and then it runs itself out. In the area of Canada that I was in, they typically get about 40 hours per season of ice, which amounts to about roughly 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch. In 1961, the ice storm that hit produced 1.5 to 2 inches of ice. In 1998, the perfect ice storm held itself still and rained ice for 80 hours. Whereby you got ice in excess of 5 inches. Now, that don't sound like a lot. Let me show you what 5 inches is. We'll take this microphone right here at the neck. Now, you see that that's about 1/2 inch, 5/8. 5 inches of ice would now make it that big around. The infrastructure of Canada fell. Power lines fell. Pylons, the big, tall, steel, metal tires that hold up the transmission lines, would fall in a line 10 and 15 at a time. As we drove into upstate New York, there was no power. Some of you around here are old enough to remember what it was like before the area got built up, and you might drive 15 miles to the neighbor's house at night and never see a light till you got there, right? That's what we saw. Nothing. The area that we were in was so black, they called it the Triangle of Darkness. I spent 32 days from January 10th until mid-February, 32 days, working 7 days a week, 17 hours a day, putting those power lines back up. All I was supposed to do was go up for a weekend. The ice was so bad, you take one step and fall. We actually got new shoes given to us while we were there and went around and screwed screws into the bottom of them because that was the only way you could walk. You fell and you fell and you fell and you fell. There was no electricity. We lived in the trucks for 2 nights. We lived in an apartment complex that they had cleared out and put 30 people to a room about the size of one of our Sunday school rooms. For 2 nights, we ate fried bologna in the morning with orange juice, because that's all they had, and water eggs We worked in temperatures where the average high degree got to 10. Where the wind would blow 40 miles an hour for days at a time. I walked into the perfect ice storm. Imagine, if you will, 1.6 million people out of power for sometimes up to 6 weeks. Some of the areas we stayed in, you'd be sitting there working. They called out 20,000 of Canada's National Guard for this perfect ice storm to bring supplies to us as we were working, because you couldn't drive. You'd be working along, and all of a sudden in the field, an Army helicopter would drop down out of nowhere, unload supplies, and fly off again. In one town we stayed, they brought diesel locomotives into a siding and engineered a way of taking the current from those to fire up the hotel we were staying in so we could have heat and a shower to go out the next morning. So we'd spend all day in 10-degree temperature and sleep all night in 80 degrees. Oh, yeah. When people look at me when I don't wear a coat when I'm walking around in the middle of winter, I have never thawed out. And I don't expect I ever will. I saw things on that journey. I saw things on that trip. I saw people living in ways that you can't possibly fathom. It's the closest I've ever come to going to a mission journey without going. We turned on the electricity in one house, and I'm telling you, 50 people rolled out of the basement. Scared me. I ran and got in the truck. And fell. I was in the middle of the perfect ice storm. We'd work all day long to put electricity back up. And literally, when I say that, I'll give you an example. One day we pulled up to put poles back up, and this road was so straight you could see where it came to a point. 10 miles, perfectly straight. And there wasn't a single pole standing. There was a crew going ahead putting poles up. We put the cross arms up, and a crew came behind us stringing the lines. We worked all day, 14 hours on that. We started out in the morning, the sun was shining like that. An hour later, the sun was gone. It started snowing. And in 6 hours, it dropped 2 feet of snow while we were working. We hooked everything back up. They threw the switch, and this power station substation blew up. We had to come back the next day and start all over. I've never been in anything like that in my life. And I never thought we were going to leave. We were supposed to go up for 1 week. I was just simply going up to drive a bunch of equipment up. I drove trucks up there. And the one old fellow that I was riding with, who'd been a lineman for 35 years, as we approached the Canadian border, saw the devastation, looked at me and said, "I've never seen anything like this in my entire life." I said, "Oh, I guess I'm going to be here a while." And we were. And yet, as I sat there, I had been crying just 10 minutes earlier. Not because it hurt. You can't hurt something that thick. I was crying because I was tired of it. I was tired of falling. I was tired of the snow and ice. I was tired of eating deer meat. Can you believe that? Wasn't no fried chicken up there. I was tired of it all. And that fall, I'd hit my head. I was crying in frustration. And as I sat there with an ice pack on my head, I started to realize the situation I was in, and I began to laugh. Obviously, I was probably losing my mind like everybody else up there with me. It was devastating to the people that did it. It was devastating to the people that lived through it. It was something like you've never seen. When I find the pictures, I'll bring them in. And as suddenly as we were in the middle of the storm, it was over. Okay, boys, pack them up and roll. You're going home. Just like that. I left Baltimore, Maryland at 4 o'clock in the morning, wearing short sleeves in January, back in 1998. Don't know if you remember how warm that was. Came home to Baltimore, Maryland, back to shirt sleeves. It was that quickly over. We were home. My life picked up where I had left it off, and yet I would be forever different. I would never be able to view winter the same again. Changed in an instant because of a perfect storm. That storm lasted 80 hours, around the clock, like 4 or 5 days. And it was gone. I chose today's scripture because it makes plain two simple facts. That we are the target, the absolute and complete, unswerving target of Satan. Don't make any mistakes here. When David's writing those letters, I'm telling you, he's writing in deference to Satan. Old Satan used tools like the Palestine people and whomever else he wanted, but it was Satan. And friends, brothers and sisters, as we are Christians, we are the target of Satan. This ain't fantasy. This ain't some foolish talk. He's as real as I am. Second, chose this scripture because God allows us. God allows these things in our lives for a reason. It's not that he makes bad things happen. Because if he could, and he did, I'd never get anywheres. Paul Letterman, I bet I had enough of you. There, bang, you grow a tail. He allows them. He doesn't stop them. He exercises your free will. Your decision of what you're going to do at that point in time. He allows them, and these moments that he allows truly shapes us as Christians. David felt it. Verse 4, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." With everything that was going on around him, you'd think he might get a little bit down. David was in the middle of his perfect storm. No. He said, "Father, I just want to get through this and come home. I just want to get through this and come home." I stood up there on the ice saying, "I just want to get through this and come home." Have you been at that place? Say amen. "I just want to get through this and come home. Father, I love you. I see what you're doing. I understand what this is all about. I just want to get through this and come home." That's our choice as Christians because we know God and we know Jesus' love. But what if you didn't? Oh, ho, ho. Everybody's everything against me. Everybody's against me. Everybody's trying to tear me up. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. Every time I turn around, somebody's trying to do something to me. And it's always somebody else's fault. And the world's against me. And I've had enough of it. In these moments, I'll put it simply to you, the perfect storm, I am afraid. You're afraid. Oh, in reality, there's not a whole lot that I'm scared of. The boys try their best to scare me, jumping out of doorways and throwing snakes in my lap and all that kind of fun stuff, and all I'll do is laugh at them. There's not a whole lot I'm scared of. My wife is one. But the truth is, I am afraid. When we get into these storms, I'm afraid. When we get lost into this, I'm afraid. I get scared and I see the worry as those storm clouds start to gather. Even with the love and never-ending salvation that I now have in Jesus Christ, I still find myself watching those storm clouds thinking, "Here it comes again. I just want to get through this and come home." Mark chapter 4. We see a story about a storm. It's a good story. Everybody knows it. 35th verse. There's so much to be said in these short few verses that I decided I wanted to read them out loud and not just surmise them, not just do a summary on them. Mark chapter 4 in the 35th verse, we see the story that Jesus calms the storm. Read along with me. Follow along with me. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Now we already know what's going on. Jesus has been preaching. And he was tired. Verse 36, leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping in a cushion. On a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Funny way to ask it. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still." The wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." How many times have you seen the storm coming? How many times have you sat in a boat? I hate boats. I don't know that I'll ever go on a cruise. I mean, they're fun to look at, but I am not a boat kind of guy. Unless it was a cruise for antique tractors, then might be there. You're sitting at the stern, that's the back, right? Okay. He's in that back of the boat, asleep. Because he knew. He understood. He got it. But in the boat were his chosen ones, his disciples, those he had called out and showed them who he was. "Look, I am the Christ. I have showed you. You follow me." And they did. He was in the boat with them. And yet they were afraid. Know why? Because we're human. It's okay to be afraid. Really. It's okay to be a little bit worried. Not much. It's okay if you take the fear and the worry and use it as a tool to force you to turn back to Christ, to force you to turn back to God, to force you to turn back. But they did not get it. Do you honestly think the boat would have sunk if Jesus Christ was in the boat? Anybody catch the irony of that? He's in the boat. And there's a storm come up. Do you really think that boat is going to sink? They didn't know that. When we get lost in a storm, we don't know what's coming, but he does. And so we get afraid. That's us at many times. That's what we have with the common with the disciples. We're in the boat. We're in the middle of the perfect storm. We're in the middle of everything that's going on. We are right there with it. And guess what happens? A lot of times when that storm comes up, we fail. We fail. And the perfect question laid out there was laid out by them when they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Kind of a stupid question was that. What about Jesus? There's a lot of wind, a lot of water coming in the boat. Think you can help us out? No. "Don't you care if we drown? I had the boys with me yesterday. I was doing the babysitting thing. Not necessarily willingly, but that's how it worked out. And we got done where we were at. We went down to Shepherd Springs because I had to meet somebody down there. And we were riding around and they got hungry and they let me know they were getting hungry by saying, 'Daddy, we're hungry.' What else is new? 'Daddy, can we go to Burger King?' No. 'But Daddy, we want a chicken sandwich from Burger King.' No. 'But Daddy, we like the chicken sandwich from Burger King.' No. 'Don't you care if we eat?' I know how that felt to hear that question. 'Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care, Father, that what's going on in my life is absolutely terrifying me, is absolutely destroying me as I stand in the middle of this perfect storm? Don't you care? Don't you have a thought in your head? Can't you see me? Why are you leaving me behind?" The truth of the matter is, he didn't. Verse 5, Psalm 27. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. He will set me high on his rock. You start getting into perfect storm, hunt that song. Write that verse down. He loves you. He loves you enough to let this happen so that you will grow. We are destined to fail because we are made weak. We're not angels. We're not gods. We're you and me. Made in His image, but not Him. Made to look like what He wanted us to, but not Him. Given free will so that we could be strong and we can be weak. Made to be weak so that we will find ourselves seeking Him out or not. I hope for everybody in this room, it is seeking Him out. The only way to combat the perfect storm is to let things fall into His hands. That's what David writes, isn't it? The Lord is the light, is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hear my voice when I call you. When I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer to me. Let it fall into His hands. In the face of the perfect storm, find yourself looking toward Him. Let God teach us His will. That's a tough one. Let Him show us that we are His children and that He loves us. Let Him show us that even when the storm rages around us, He's watching. Waiting. What are you going to do with it? Oh, he could just... What would you learn? I almost got in trouble today, but it suddenly went away. I'm moving on. I almost got a ticket today for speeding, but the cop couldn't catch me. Wait a minute. I almost got in trouble, but I didn't. Everything almost went wrong, but it didn't. After a while, what happens? You start to become pride man. He doesn't take away the storm. He gives you a place to go to in it. He doesn't take you out of the danger. He holds on to you while you go through it so that at the other end you can turn to Him and say, "Thank you, Father." Psalm 31. David or Jeremiah. There's some debate. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those that cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but you have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief, but my life is consumed with anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Down in verse 19, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me. When I was a besieged city, in my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. You heard my cry for mercy. When I called to you for help, love the Lord, all ye saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Amen. when I was cut off from you, when I was standing in the middle of this perfect storm, when everything around me has conspired to tear me apart, when I started to cry out and I looked up and could only see the darkness, you're up there. That's what he's writing. I'm crying out to you, but he didn't stop. He still hears you. It's a lesson for us all, including myself. Every time, and I mean every time, we find ourselves in the midst of a storm that is thrashing us, we got two choices. Ride it out or drown. A and B. And it may seem like the end of it never comes. When you look ahead, you can find yourself lost. When I stood there on that ice and fell, I looked ahead and saw no end. I thought I'd never come home. All of a sudden, I came home. If you don't know Him, His plan, His will for you, His love, you can drown instantly. Perfect storm. I can look around right now in this room and see perfect storms everywhere. Don't point at Jennifer, Chris. She's going to slap you. The perfect storm. The sky is bright and wonderful. You're coasting along without warning. All of a sudden, the sky goes dark, and then you are left to do with nothing but hold on and pray. Perfect in the simple fact that when everything you had was going the way you wanted it, it's over. Want an example? Peterbilt sitting in the driveway, missing an engine. It could be the perfect storm, but I have decreed that I will trust in God to get me straightened back out. And He is, and He has, and He will. I don't like where I'm at. Don't make no mistake. I'm still scared, but I'm not letting go. I ain't drowning. It'll be over before you know it. If you trust in Him, if you let go, if you hear the words David wrote in those Psalms, but I trust in you, O Lord, I say you are my God. David ends that 31st Psalm with, be strong and take hope, all you who hope in the Lord. Amen. You're going to leave here. You're going to walk right into it. I've never been on a boat when a storm hits. I don't do well on a boat anyway. Although I don't know what I have to worry about. Take a good look at me. I am buoyant. I would imagine that when they come up fast and sudden. No? Yes? Sometimes? No, I ain't no boat person. You live your life a day at a time. God gives you what you can handle. No more. He looks upon you and He says, I will put you in a safe place. Pray to me. Come to me. Call to me. In the midst of it all, I am here for you. I am waiting for you. At the end of the 27th Psalm, David writes it yet again, as if it is an never-ending theme that should be noted importantly in the 14th verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's what we do, right? Amen? Even in the midst of a perfect storm. Even in the midst of a perfect ice storm. When you're sitting in a truck in 10-degree temperature where there's ice all around you and you're holding an ice pack on your head, there's an end. And you'll be out of it before you know it. And your life will be changed. My hair? Oh, sorry. I've never said I'm perfect. I'm just handsome. You wait for it. Is it right now? Don't want to mess up my part. You wait for it. go through the storm. You reach out and hold on to God. I'm telling you to do this. You look at what happens when it comes to the other end. You'll be out of it. You'll be home and you'll be changed forever. And you can minister that and witness it to somebody you know caught in a storm. Amen? Let us pray. Father, thank you. I don't know why you take the time you do to do the things for us that you do, other than you simply love us. I bet your voice can be heard if we're quiet enough saying, I love you, child. Yes, you're going through this, but I'm right here. Our time will come when we find ourselves yet again standing in the middle of the swirl, in the middle of the blackness, in the middle of the darkness, where we don't look around and see light, and we think that things are going to come to an end. Will I lose this? Will I lose that? Will I find myself lost somewhere? Will I not have anything anymore? Will everything be taken from me? And yet we cry out, and you said, you inspired, you gave the words to be written. Search for me, and I will put you on a high place, and when it's done, you can look upon it. That's our prayer. And from this moment forward, Father, in the middle of it all, you're there. In the middle of it all, we reach out to you. In the middle of that storm, we get situated for the end of it. And pray our lives changed better forever. This we commit to your care and keeping through the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Stormy weather. Out there somewhere. You want to get a start on that storm? As we sing this last hymn right here. Right there. Let me pray with you. I love it. I love praying. If there's something troubling you, if it's on your heart, if you need to know Christ again, if you need that strengthening, if there's anything you need prayer for, as we sing this last hymn, I invite you forward.
Please stand and turn to page 563.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, grant us your presence and your peace and your comfort in the moments to come and the days to come until we are called together again, your servants seeking you out here in his house. Let us witness and testify your name and Jesus' name in the week to come. And while we may not be the leaders, let us prepare the way. Pray us through those storms, Father, holding on to you. And now, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I bless and keep you now and forevermore. Amen.